In the Carter White House, theatrical performances were often the order of the day. In February 1977, following a state dinner for Canadian Prime Minister and Mrs. Pierre Trudeau, a musical theater troupe from Columbia, Maryland, performed a 30-minute Tribute to America review in the East Room. A week later, following a White House dinner for the nation's governors and their spouses, the Carters adjourned with their guests to the East Room for a 25-minute cutting from the musical Annie, which had just opened its pre-Broadway run at the Kennedy Center the night before. Thomas Meehan's script, with songs by Charles Strauss and Martin Charnin, brings to life the comic strip character Little Orphan Annie, who keeps spirits high during the Depression for everyone, from her fellow urchins to President Roosevelt. 25 members of the cast and crew of the $800,000 production, led by Andrea McArdle as Annie and Reed Shelton as Daddy Warbucks, held the audience enthralled. President Carter led a standing ovation and then, referring to FDR, who, as a character in the show, has his cabinet sing "Tomorrow" together, joked, "The only thing I have to say is that I chose my cabinet too early." Annie, he enthused, is a wonderful new play. There's no doubt in my mind that it will be completely successful. President as prophet here. That from the study American Presidents Attend the Theater by Thomas Bogar. It's probably very safe to say that we don't go to see the much-loved musical Annie for anything to do with politics. It's more for the music, the message, and the marvelous characters. And it's the message that makes Annie so perfect for the winter holidays, not to mention the storyline and song New Deal for Christmas. The Little Theater of Wilkes-Barre will present Annie as its December show from the 7th through the 16th on weekends. Scott Cullen directs, David Parmalee is Daddy Warbucks, and Madison Chacko has the title role of Annie. They all stopped in at the WVIA studios to talk about the production and winter at Little Theater. David Parmalee.
For a long time, Little Theater was dark in the winter. We ran a season that was spring through fall, and from what Walter Mitchell tells me, and he knows the archival history, they would shut the place down and drain the pipes. They would just mothball the place for the winter. But a few years ago, our board decided we really should do a holiday show. We started with Scott's White Christmas, which was marvelous, did a traditional Christmas Carol straight show last year, and it was actually Walter Mitchell's concept. Annie happens at Christmas. Everybody loves Annie. Let's do Annie for 2018.
Why did you say yes, Scott?
Oh, it's an amazing show. And the heart of Annie speaks to Christmas and speaks to that holiday spirit. That iconic, you know, red dress and Christmas tree, you can't go wrong.
You probably had a lot of potential Annies up on that stage when you had to make a choice.
We had so many children audition for this show. We had about 45 kids audition just for the orphans or Annie. And it was just amazing seeing that much young talent come out of the woodwork in Wilkes-Barre.
Before we get to meet you, Madison, David, we always assume that we know about Annie, and it's set at an interesting time. Tell us something about Annie as a show.
Well, when Charles Strauss set out to write it, they looked through the archives of the comic strip, which ran from 1924 till 2010. They were doing repeats and guest artists were drawing it. The actually author of Little Orphan Annie died in the 60s. But they didn't find much of an arc they could make a musical out of. So they sat down and started from scratch. So we've got actually three subplots going on at once. Of course, we've got the plot of Annie finding a home with Daddy Warbucks, which is wonderful. We've got the nefarious plot to kidnap Annie for the reward money for the $50,000. And we've got FDR trying to lead the nation out of the Depression. So we have those three plot themes going on at the same time. And they made quite a lot of it. I found that in the comic strip Annie, he really loved talking about organized labor and FDR and the New Deal and all that kind of thing. So when Fiorello LaGuardia, who's in the show, mayor of New York, was reading the comic strips out loud to kids during the newspaper strike, he would have loved the politics in Little Orphan Annie. So it is not just the music, which everyone loves, but there's also a lot going on.
I have been told before we sat around this table, Madison, that you were in Annie years ago.
Yes, I was. The first show that I did was at Music Box. It was in 2013, I believe, and I was in Annie. I was just cast as one of the orphans, but also last year at Theater at the Grove, I played Annie as well in their production of Annie last year.
What do you love about Annie as a youngster?
Well, I mean, Annie's one of, like, the best shows that I've done. I mean, from the start, that was always my dream role. I want to be Annie. So now that I've been able to play it, it's kind of like a dream come true.
Is it everything about it? Do you like her pluck and her spunk?
Yeah, she's a very, like, sassy character, and that kind of, like, meets with my personality well.
And you've been singing all along?
Well, I started singing. We just found an ad in the newspaper, actually, in 2013. So my mom was like, oh, do you want to do it? And I was like, yeah, I'll try it. So I hopped up on stage, I auditioned, and it kind of just stuck with me since then.
I don't want to embarrass her, but what did you see, Scott, in Madison, if you had 45 to choose from?
If there is that proverbial it factor, Madison has that. There's the light in the eyes. You can tell that there's always something going on back there, which you don't see in a lot of kids. A lot of kids can say the lines, they can be cute, they can shuffle their feet. But Madison has a lot of emotion and a lot of pathos going on behind those eyes, and that's exactly why I cast her.
David, Daddy Warbucks isn't Daddy Warbucks, the Daddy Warbucks we meet at the front. He goes through a journey, doesn't he?
It's quite an arc for a character. This very hard-boiled billionaire in the 1920s. He says, though, I turned $1 million into $100 million. And back then, that was a lot of money. And he freely admits to Annie, as he's proposing that he will adopt her, that he ruthlessly climbed over everyone he met on the way up, believing firmly you don't have to be nice to people on the way up if you don't plan on coming back down. And that's his philosophy in life. There's a guy who buys the Mona Lisa and doesn't even know where to hang it. So to take that sort of hard-boiled, sort of Gilded Age industrialist, a guy who made his money before income tax came along and ruined everything, and to get the audience's sympathy when he adopts this 11-year-old girl, Daddy Warbucks' heart has to be melted by Annie. And that's exactly what happens, and it especially happens in his songs.
What does Annie think of Daddy Warbucks initially?
Well, at first she's kind of like bugging him. At first I feel like she's trying to get him to like her. So in the end, they really like warm up to each other.
What about Sandy?
We have a wonderful Sandy. Actually, members of the cast, we actually had a dog call. And all the members of the cast, they all brought our dogs. Me too. I even, you know, just so you know, there's no nepotism because my dog auditioned and didn't get the role. he's a beagle, a little bit older, a little bit calmer. You know, so far he's done great. We'll see what actually happens when there's an audience.
We just heard, David, as you've outlined for us, the three plot lines. How are you making sure that it all flows as it's supposed to?
Well, right now, I have a wonderful, wonderful supporting crew. I've got my assistant director, Jessica Bickle, who has been my absolute right arm. I've got choreography by Kevin Costley. I've got music direction by Jen Hunter. And it's really, really easy when you have a supporting crew of that caliber.
Now, we know you as a tremendous dramatic actor and a comic actor as well. David, where's the singing come from?
I'm working really hard on that. No, I got the part because of my haircut. If you know me, you know that. But no, it's a delightful part. I don't do a lot of musicals. But when you get an opportunity for a part like this, good heavens, how on earth do you say no?
And David's been a godsend. One thing I like about David as an actor is that he does his homework. He has, quite obviously by previous comments in this interview, he has a knowledge about the part, a knowledge about the history, and knows exactly where Daddy Warbucks is. Makes my job so much easier. And that's exactly what I love about working with David.
Which of the songs are you particularly enjoying?
Well, I really like Tomorrow and Maybe. Those are my two favorites because Maybe is really with all the orphans, and I try to get as close to the orphans as I can so that we can like really get along and bond together. And Tomorrow is just one of my favorites because it's, yeah, everyone loves Tomorrow.
Do you find yourself singing it in the shower or?
Yeah, all the time.
It seems like it's one of those songs. What about you, Daddy Warbucks?
I heard a great interview in 1994 with Terry Gross, the second best interviewer on public radio, where she talked to Charles Strauss. He's 90 today. And he talked about his early education in music, where he met with Nadia Boulanger. And she was the person you went to. She was the doyenne if you were a classical musician aspiring to write. And she would evaluate what you had written. And she had hung out with Stravinsky. They had drunk vodka together. And he remembered, he related playing for her things he had written. And she kept saying, was there anything else? Is there anything else? Is there anything else? And he ended up playing a song he had written for his girlfriend when she came back from an absence called Moon Over 83rd Street. Just anything he could come up with. And she concluded the interview by saying, you have a talent for light music. In other words, buddy, you ain't no Stravinsky. But in the next few decades, here's a man who would write Bye Bye Birdie, Annie with Tomorrow, with Hard Knock Life. He'd write the theme to All in the Family that everybody watched Carol O'Connor and Edith Warble, you know, every Friday night for how many decades. He has a talent for light music, and the music is just so delightful. And that's one of the big reasons you go to Annie and leave humming those tunes.
Did I tell you about David doing his homework?
There you go. Do you have musicians playing for you?
Oh, yeah. We have a wonderful pit. Jen Hunter, again, is our music director, and she's assembled a cache of musicians. And one thing that I am insistent about at Little Theater of Wilkes-Barre as its artistic director is that we will maintain a live music orchestra. You know, there's nothing canned with us, and I'm very, very proud of that and something that I insist on.
Madison, what about dancing?
Well, that's not like my strongest point, but I have to like practice it to get it. So that's basically what I practice the most out of everything.
And this is your dream role, Madison. It must be wonderful to do it on the stage at Little Theater. That's a big stage. And the number of seats have been reduced because of the air conditioning, as we understand, code things and so forth. But still, it's a pretty big house, right?
Yeah, it is. And it's just like nice being able to perform in front of all these people and seeing like new faces and old faces too.
It's wonderful now that we have central air conditioning and central heating in the building, and it makes this all the more wonderful experience theatrically. Rounding out our cast, we have Dana Feigenblatt, a regional heroine, as Miss Hannigan, Becky Corson playing Grace. We have Scott Rave playing Drake, and then we have David Giordano and Madison Black playing Rooster and Lily. And so it's a pleasure directing these individuals that are just known throughout the valley. These people are, you know, people who could perform any theater they want to, and they chose to come to Little Theater and do Annie. So I'm very, very grateful for that. We open December 7th, and then we run for 2 weekends. So it's 7, 8, and 9, 14, 15, and 16. The Friday and Saturday shows are at 8 o'clock curtain, and then the Sunday shows are 3 o'clock curtain. You can get tickets by calling the theater at 570-823-1875. Or you can go to ltwb.org. That is our website, and you can check the dates there, as well as go straight to the Ticketfly website and buy tickets online. We are located downtown. We're on 537 Main Street.
Mulled wine will be served.
Scott Collin, director, David Parmalee, general manager of the Little Theater of Wilkes-Barre, is Daddy Warbucks, and Madison Chacko has the title role of Annie. They were here at the WVIA studios talking with us about the upcoming production of Annie at the Little Theater, and the shows, as Scott just told us, will be December 7th through the 16th, weekends, Fridays and Saturdays at 8 p.m., Sundays at 3, Sunday matinees at 3. Little Theater is located at 537 North Main Street in Wilkes-Barre. And for more information on the web, ltwb.org, ltwb.org. That's December 7th and 8th at 8 p.m., the 9th at 3, and the following weekend, Friday and Saturday, the 14th and 15th at 8, and the 16th at 3. Little Theater of Wilkes-Barre, 537 North Main Street, ltwb.org.